Chris?
Juan.
Hey, Juan. How was your Noche Buena?
It was pretty good. It's crackling good.
Oh, I saw those pictures. That fucking pig.
50 pounds of pork. An hour for every 10 minutes, and then one more hour to do the skin. It just came out so delicious.
It did. And let me ask you. I don't know your family. Did you actually eat, like, what, a third of it? Or?
Dude, I think we may have knocked out 15 pounds. Maybe. Between a bunch of people, too. There's a shitload of people.
Well, yeah. I mean, even 15 pounds.
I like think there was, like, 20 people there. And we had a bunch of other food, and my mom always serves too many hors d'oeuvres. I always tell her, it's like, way too many pre-snacks before the food, because then nobody eats anything. And there must have been, I think, like, 30 pounds of meat afterwards left over.
Fuck.
You know, but it was delicious. I'm still digesting it.
I thought you were going to say, I'm still eating it.
I'm eating it as we speak. I have a... Just walk around with a bucket and a spoon.
You know what? I want to make a public... Not to make a public statement, no. I would like to make a public... Do a public state?
What is it? Public service announcement?
No. Public... Actually, publicly. I would like to publicly thank the Hagolino family for taking this wayward dog in.
I know you win. I was going to invite you, too, but...
Of course you were, Juan. Of course. But we're not real friends. I mean, we only record a podcast every week. That doesn't mean anything. We've only been flirting with each other for 3 years. I mean...
Finally, you get it. God. You fucking finally got it after 3 years. Sheesh. You're finally like, somebody got the picture.
You're like Chris, you don't pay a hooker for sex.
Yeah.
You pay her to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about fucking time you learned that lesson.
That should be on a shirt. That should be like a fortune cookie or embroidered into a pillow or
on a pillow so you can hug it. They were in town and they needed a place to... Well, they didn't need a place. They were just going to wing it and have their dinner because she lives here. One sister lives in Georgia, and then like the rest of the family lives in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They're from
fucking
Fargo.
Cold.
They're from Fargo. I know. When I dropped them off at the airport, I'm like, so what's the weather you guys got looking forward to? Like, oh, 15 degrees. So like, fuck. And it was like 80.
Yeah.
So they were gonna kind of wing their dinner, and I was like, my house is pretty much empty. I said, look, I'll get you some tables and chairs, just, you know, if you just let me in the house.
It's so empty. Alone.
they came over and everything, and then, you know, my friend got fucked because she got called into work the day of. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of funny because she planned all this weeks in advance. But that was very nice of them to take me in, and the food was delicious, and my friend made this spiced apple cider that was fucking amazing.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's basically apple cider, but she actually boils it with a bunch of other ingredients.
Yeah,
and then she drops in, and she was gonna go with Captain Morgan. I said no.
No.
Not in my house. In my house, you don't. Yeah. You gotta go with Sailor Jerry if you're gonna spice up anything.
Yeah,
it was delicious.
Yeah. Not much. It was served warm.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the whole thing with it. I've never been a big
cider
fan.
I wasn't a big fan of it either. Mm-hmm. But when I tried, I was like,
"There's ciders that fuck you up." Like I've had ciders that I'm like, "Rrr." Like after you drink it, you're like, "Hey."
And it's funny, like you say that because she's a that family's like half white, half Filipino.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they catered the food in, and I mean they baked the cake and things like that, but. Mostly everything was prepackaged and ready.
Yeah.
Like you talk about, you know, the common Latino dinner is like everything's handmade and beautifully prepared.
All the ancient recipes.
Yeah, you start preparing your food the day before and start cooking at the crack of dawn so that it's ready by the afternoon.
Yeah, and there's a whole representative quality to it because it's funny because no matter who you are in my family, like, what dish are you bringing? And according to what dish you're bringing is the level of ability you have and where your access is. So, I mean, it's like my mom makes a lot of these hors d'oeuvres and stuff like that are, like, really handmade. And, like, these little taquito things and all this other stuff. And my brother's sister-in-law brought turkey. And I was like, what? Like, I don't know if I've stated it before, but I hate fucking turkey, like, bad. But it was a fucking really good, juicy-ass turkey. I was, like, amazed. But it was, like, mole. It was, like, the most Cuban fucking turkey you could have.
It was
like, full of onions and mole.
You say that? That's what we had here.
No.
We had herb turkey.
Yeah.
With chorizo bread stuffing. Mm-hmm. And dessert was mashed sweet potatoes, but mashed with banana, mm-hmm. Almonds on top, and brown sugar, and then toasted and browned and glazed.
Mm-hmm. I think the big secret she said was she kept it covered. It was like a big ass cover, so it's
so
all
she cooked
it
herself.
Juices,
though.
Yeah, yeah. Oh shit. Yeah, no, you gotta like no nothing. No, everything there was pretty much made by hand. Yeah.
But I love that though. Like you know, like when you're calling around. So what are you bringing? Mm-hmm. Uh huh. Is that? Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
And your mom's looking at the list, going, "Oh, este cabrón."
I know. She is. Yeah.
She's like, "He's not sitting next to
you." No,
he's gonna
bring
my,
you know,
they're sitting over here.
Yeah, you know, and some things is funny because then it's like a lot of people come in, they have their like gourmet slant on stuff, or they have this way or way. You know, I turned the concept around doing this, right? And then my aunt came, and just the most fucking Cuban tres leches fucking dessert, just like out of the, and she made it from scratch. But there ain't no twists, there ain't no turns. This is tres leches, motherfucker. Eat it and shut up. And it was good as fuck because of that. And it was one of the things I remember. Like, see how a lot of times you can be all gourmetish and be like, let's put in a little vinaigrette, or let's try this, or like we'll change it up with a souffle. No. Don't fucking change it up. Like being a fucking eat. This is how it's always been made for the last 100 years. This is how you fucking eat it. And that was really good. It was really good. The only thing I had raisins. I was like, raisins. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. No. That's awesome though. But yeah. Yeah. I guess because we always like I'm more used accustomed to like just the family, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll invite somebody who has no place to go, you know, who doesn't either has no mm-hmm. family or anything. But at the most, it's always been like 7 people at our house at the most.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
Yeah, because we're a very small family. You yeah. know, it's 4 brothers and my mom. That's it. And it's a, you know, 5 of us. And we hardly ever invite like a significant other, mm-hmm. unless because we're you know none of us are married. So we've never like, oh, hey, so-and-so's got to come. Because they have their family and they're doing, if you're in a Latino family, called you're...
Wow.
Yeah. So when, you know, so when we cook, it's like, yeah, 5 people, minimum 5. Mm-hmm. And then the extended 3 people, maybe. Mm-hmm. And it's like maybe my friend who's got no family or a cousin.
It's so funny because with me, it's just like my family's the opposite in the sense of, we have to fucking be there. Like my mom fucking... Yeah, there's like not an alternative. I think the one that she's let go of now has been New Year's. Like New Year's used to be like you gotta be here in the house with the family and whatever. Bring whoever the fuck you want. But there's that, you know, now New Year's is like whatever. Because New Year's really to me is not. I don't really care for New Year's. You know, it used to be that go get trash holiday, but whatever. But in my house has always been like fucking God. I remember there was times it was like 50, 60 people in
Holy
my fucking
shit.
House. You know, my dad. That was back when my dad would make like. 70-pound pig, and
Holy
then it's
shit.
Like 70, 80-pound pig. I think the biggest was 88 pounds. And that was like, remember, it's an hour per pound. And then an hour more just to get the back nice and crackling. So that was 9 hours right there. And I remember helping my dad with that. And then, you know, we would invite the old neighbor that we had in Carroll City to come over. Well, this guy has four boys and 3 girls, and each one of them are married, and with it, so then they come, and then somebody has a primo, and then somebody, you know, say, so the house would be packed. But as a kid, it was fun, because then you had, like, a shitload of people to play with, you know, like, we're running around the house and everything. And the food, oh my God. You know, just piles and piles of food. Everybody brought something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we've always just been a very tight, small family. Mm-hmm. Like for you know, same with like Thanksgiving, it's always at the most 7-8 people. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, it was like, you know, and now we've all taken like different responsibilities for dinner because my mom kind of stopped cooking. Mm-hmm. She likes it, but we are like, dude, relax, lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Relax.
No, that's
so my you know
I get on my mom about that. Yeah.
And then the oldest brother doesn't cook; he just shows up to eat. No, that fucker shows up to eat and then he leaves. That's it. That's his job. Like Christmas Eve, everything.
Really?
He's like, because he wants to show up. To show up and, you know...
Yeah, make his
appearance. Yeah. But he knows we start drinking right after dinner. So he's all like, I don't drink, and you guys are assholes when you drink. So, and my mom's specific. Like, she's like, no empiecen a beber hasta que Alex se vaya. Nadie toma hasta que Alex se vaya. And we're like, oh, shit, you know?
Really?
Oh, yeah. And out of respect. He's the oldest, yeah. You know? So my mom's like, fuck, you know. And what we'll do is we'll get drinks in early, like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And then we go dry. It's about 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he shows up. We're all cool, you know. As soon as he leaves, pretty
much. Hey, man, did you have somewhere to go, bro?
Because he calls us and he's like, hey, I can only come over for 2 hours, guys. I'm going to be here from between 5 and 7. I'm like, all right. So we start planning around then. But my mom's like...
Hey, he's walking up to the driveway. You're like, taking shots.
But so the oldest, he makes an appearance. That's what really? His life has earned him to make appearances. And then the rest of us really have nowhere to go, so we're just at the house. Oh, wow. Yeah, but if I think for New Year's, he's not as big, but if he says I'm not coming, oh, fuck, we start drinking early in the day.
It's funny, because in my family, the tradition shrank a little bit and swelled a little bit here and there, depending on what was going on, you know? Like, I remember it shrank down a bit, just because... Like, at that time, I think me and my brother were studying outside of the States, and when we'd come back, you know. But no, and then even then, like, I remember it used to be a lot of my friends. Like, my friends would be like, you do your Thanksgiving afterwards, come to my house, and we'll get trashed at my house.
Yeah.
Like, my dad was like, yeah, bring them over. I'd rather have you here get trashed than be on the fucking street getting trashed. You know, so they would come over and everything else. So it would swell and this and that. And now it's like everybody has their family, their own Thanksgiving, you know, no one's going to really go anywhere. And for Christmas is the same kind of thing too.
So. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, like, if this hadn't gone through, it would have just I hate Christmas. I hate any type of thing like that. You know, Christmas is fake. New Year's you can't deny. The New Year starts on that day. Christmas is fucking fake, as well as God knows how many other things. So I've never been attached to those things. You know, so like had they not needed a play or not, you know, I accepted my invitation to have it here. It would have been just me eating some chicken and getting trashed by myself. Perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. Not looking for pity. Not looking for handouts. Like, no, this is fine. I really am okay, guys. Really, I'm okay. That's the type of person I am. Like, I've never... And I think it comes from that small family structure that we always had. You know, if you're not with them, you're on your own. And it's cool, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's the thing, too. I think I've never really had a situation where I missed a Thanksgiving or a Christmas and been in a situation only... But it's just, I don't really... Does it one way or another fucking affect me, you know? I am the same way. Like, it was just a day like anything else.
Exactly.
You know? Except for Valentine's Day. Then I just become a wreck.
I start practicing for Valentine's Day around July. Mm-hmm. Start working on my craft so that my handmade roses look
perfect. Perfect.
Perfect. And they have to be a dozen.
Yeah.
And, the ink itself that I paint the roses with individually have to be from real roses that I've mashed myself.
Exactly.
With a little bit of whatever preferred perfume she prefers. And it's just, it's a process, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a very delicate day.
And wetted with the tears that come from reading.
Throughout the year, I collect tears of the girl so that she knows all those times she cried were for naught.
Now you're getting creepy. And then I made the base from hair I found in her shower. And I make a doll
and then,
out of her toenail and then clippings.
And then we toast with her used bath water.
And I drink it. Like that she's inside me.
Whatever. Yeah. Then I skin her and win her skin. You know, that's how it goes. So that's cool. That's cool. What do you got going on for New Year's?
New Year's? This I have no fucking idea.
Well, this will probably post after New Year's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because New Year's is in
five days. It was awesome. Happy New
Year. In 5 days, right?
Yeah.
So what do you have planned for that?
I have no fucking idea, really. Oops. I don't know if we're going to do this the family thing or what the fuck we're going to do. Wow. Hey, I'm just kind of like, if it ain't by you, I'm not going to do it. You know, if it ain't crazy shit, I'm not going to go fucking out of my way. You know what I'm saying? But that's, I don't know. What about you?
I will be hopefully knee deep in debauchery in Vegas.
Oh man, you're gonna be in Vegas for New Year's?
That's what I'm shooting for.
Oh brother.
And when I say
get there, take your dick out, and just leave it out. Just leave it out for the rest of the night. Just be like, let's see what happens.
Pretty much. No, no, I'll definitely be in Vegas. Whether debauchery will occur, I don't know. That's a plus. Mm-hmm. I figured, there's certain things that I kind of figured you kind of have to do. Like, I've never done, you know, New Year's in New York, but that's something you kind of have to do once. Vegas, I hear, Vegas, I hear, is just like the streets are closed and people, you can't even walk. So yes. I can't wait for that. I've never done Mardi Gras, but I've officially done Fantasy Fest. Things like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to eventually do South by Southwest someday.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But South by Southwest has gotten corporate as fuck, I've heard.
Just to go see a good band.
I know, but then it's like, oh, it's so-and-so on the Dorito stage. Come to the Dorito stage. And you know what I'm saying? Like,
if it's still so-and-so, I'm okay. Yeah. But you know what? That's the other thing you have to remember. So-and-so, if you really like them, won't be there.
You think?
They'll be somewhere else.
I have to admit, too, I've never seen something on South by Southwest and said, wow, I wish I saw that.
Yeah. I think it's one of those. But I think, you know, just to do it once, I think it seems like a really... There aren't too many... you know, Lollapalooza style things that are left, and this seems like it's, you know, for music and things like that. It just seems like a good mm-hmm. time. I wouldn't mind. But yeah, so I think it's one of those things. Like I'm young enough still where I think like I have time to do some of these events. I mean, you know, Peter practically talked us into going to fucking Burning Man. That sounds amazing.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna show up with bacon and
booze.
It's
just funny because now I've known about Burning Man for years now. I think since, like, the second annual, like, actual Burning Man, like, back, I think, in the 90s. I remember reading, like, a Wired magazine or Details did a coverage, and I was like, wow, what a crazy fucking thing. And now it's so prevalent. It's so there. And, my sister-in-law went, and I think now this girl at work, Michelle, wants to go now, and she was telling me about all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, man. I mean, I've just kept hearing about it. And now it's like, bro, everybody in the room. And the biggest aspect of it, to me, that I think is so awesome, I guess the inspiring aspect of it, is the fact that there's no money.
Yeah, I'm telling you. When
it's not about money. To me, that's the biggest thing that I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
So really, it is about showing up.
When Peter was telling us about that, I'm like, holy shit, you just barter?
Yeah, I know. To me, that's the craziest thing. I was like, also, somebody was telling me, it was my sister-in-law was telling me the other day, Christy, that she was saying, like, yeah, like, nobody... throws a cigarette on the ground. Like, when they leave, it has to be, like, zero.
Right.
Like, nothing is left. You know? Like, so people walk around with, like, a little, like, ashtray. Like, little portable ashtray thing. Which is, like,
amazing.
And everything. And I'm like, I love it because it's this idea of, like, this is the goal. This is the common goal. This is where we're going to be. And these are the fucking rules. You have to go by those rules. Everyone come here. And because of that, it works. You know, it's like one of those things. And I thought that to me is like, all the other festivals are just like, whatever, you know, like it's a bunch of money for fucking $8 water. You know, it's like, I just don't feel like being part of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally see myself showing up on a bike with gallons and gallons of rum.
Yeah.
And just like, hey, pint of rum for a fucking steak. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eat for a week.
You'll just be the rum guy.
I'll be the rum guy.
Just like a barrel. A barrel in the back.
Oh, imagine?
Yeah.
That would be amazing, right?
Rum guy.
Rum guy? He just shows up. What do you got? Okay, I'll take the bacon. I'll add Coke if you throw in the biscuits.
One biscuit for
us. Yeah. So since this is like the episode before the last time that we are sitting in this vacant office... let's talk, I guess what is the mindset for next year as far as work-wise? Because I know, for example, I know you took some time off from painting and doing your artist, official artist stuff. Mm-hmm. So are you back into that? Like, is the next year
and
a new
on
exhibit?
The side. I don't know.
Yeah, like where are you mentally... What it's inspiring you currently for what the year of things you're going to put out.
And for like the next month or two has been getting books finished, the second issues of a lot of things for Creature. Tommy, getting it done. I was working with the writer originally, and unfortunately he dropped out of the book. And I can't blame him too much. So people know... his new real name isn't Albóndiga. That's meatball in Spanish, so you shouldn't take that seriously. But the reason being is that we use a fake name for him is that he's a school teacher. So he can't really be doing comic books or anything. It's considered moonlighting.
Really?
And on top of that, you have a fucking book about a kid out of school, and the rabbit, his imaginary friend, is killing people. So that would look bad on him. And I think the tipping point for him, as he told me, was the Connecticut shooting.
Oh.
And so now he was like, dude, I can't do this anymore. I really can't. I don't feel like that's right. I can't. Run. I'm like, all right, dude. I just wish you told me this a month ago. But so because of that, I'm back to pretty much to writing those series, you know. So now that I've done that, I pretty much blocked out the whole thing. So I want to get it done the next month. It's like a challenge for myself.
Okay.
To get it done. The month of January. And on top of that, I have Zombie Years to do and the 5th anniversary of Zombie Years also. So that's like my right now the comics are the main thing.
But like what's been...
Not even the movies, not even the artwork.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But I guess I was asking in a broader perspective of like what's inspiring you now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what, yeah, what's motivating you and you know, what's the year coming up looking like?
I don't know. You know, I'm kind of excited because the next coming year is more open for me to be doing my shit more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think there's not these pressures of, you know, oh, by March, we got to do this. By May, we're going to do this. By, you know what I'm saying? I don't have, like, a map in front of me right now. And I'm saying the most I have are a couple of cons that we're going to be doing this year. You know, like Orlando MegaCon, all those, and representing and getting out. Going to Baltimore for the first time for Baltimore Comic Con. Maybe doing Dragon Con in Atlanta. New York Comic Con again. Heroes Con, all these other ones. And, you know, that's kind of cool, you know, that aspect. But my main thing is to be working, I think. And my main thing is, like, to be doing more writing and drawing than ever. As for the painting stuff, I'm just in a situation where I don't have the place to do it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how I would do it. Like, when I had the gallery and I was working with JC, we had a whole space to fucking do shit. I could pin this up, put this up, boom, 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 paint this, paint that, and we're done. You know? Now I don't have that. I can still work on smaller work, and I do. I have little small things that I work on here and there, but most of the time they're concepts for bigger things. So I don't have that. So hopefully over the next year, that's going to be the main thing. But, yeah, a lot of it has been getting back down to the nitty-gritty of, like, just designing and putting together different things that are comic book-wise. The comic book stuff is my main shit. Like, that's right now first and foremost. Like, I have, like, 2 or 3 books I want to get done this year. You know? And it's great because now I'm to the point it's not even about, like, oh, is this going to work? Or is this going to sell? Or is this going to... It's like, no, these are the book I want to fucking do. Like, if I do this book, it's totally for myself. And I don't think it's going to sell well at all. You know, I do. And other people are like, dude, it's going to fly off the shelf. I'm like, no, it ain't. No, it ain't. This is going to be ridiculous and stupid. And 2 out of 10 people are going to get the jokes. But it's fun for me. And so because of that, I'm like, you know, I'm really happy with that aspect. You know, like Tommy just sold out. Like the first issue of Tommy, we just sold it out last week. So I was like really happy with that. Like, oh, cool.
And that hasn't even been out that long, huh? Compared to the other ones.
No, yeah. I mean, you know, this is the first time we really have to reorder anything on there. And, creature people calling me. So yeah, so there's that idea, that way about it. But it's kind of nice to not have a map. You know, not have like, this is this and this. I'm just work. Just work. And get all of those fucking things done. And I have a lot of good ideas, and things seem more linear right now. Things seem more, you know. I think before I was just doing so much, doing everything I could, and now I saw that what I can do, my capacity, and now I'm like lining it up to be able to do those things. I'm gonna still be working on film stuff and everything else, but the film work stuff, it's kind of up in the air because film is just hard. It's just very hard. It's not even the filming. It's not the ideas. That's not hard.
Putting it together in
a fucking herding of cats on fire. you know, like that's the thing. Like, just like let's herd cats on fire.
I'm gonna take that line from you.
Yeah. So that's the biggest fucking problem.
Well, you know what? That sounds like a good year, though. I mean, it sounds mm-hmm. like you're mentally you're in.
I'm excited. But yeah, I'm not. I don't think I'm going like, yeah, man, because this shit's gonna happen. This shit's gonna happen. It's cool because we've been through this already. You know, like. I, as Creature and as myself, we've been through this already, so we're not in a situation like, let's see what happens. No, like, now we know. So now if I have to do it again, it's kind of fun because now I know all the ups and downs. Like, now I'm very comfortable doing a fucking con. Like, I'm really comfortable doing a con. Now I know all the ups and downs. Like, I already have, like, within our boxes of comics, there's one box that's just filled with the emergency supply dickhead kit. And it's just, like, what is it? Hand sanitizer, gum, fucking tie wraps, knives, scissors, a hammer. You know, it's just, like, the emergency oh fuck box. Why? Because we know some shit happened. And, oh, this ain't here. This ain't here. Oh, if we could have done this, if we had this. That's what that box is for.
You know,
duct tape. Lots and lots of duct tape. So, but yeah, no, but it's kind of cool. Because, I mean, again, you know, on movie side, we have a couple exciting things coming up. But we don't, they're not set in stone. But I think what's fun is that now I just, for me, now in front of me is just the work. And it's not fucking promoting. It's not going out there and fucking talking to people too much. It's just the work. And even that still means I have to talk to a lot of people. Now, but at least it's more straightforward. It's more like I know who my soldiers are too. Like, I'm not in a situation where I'm still recruiting people and seeing how they work out and can this guy do this book and blah blah. Because there are a lot of talented people out there, but they just suck at being disciplined and getting a fucking project done. You know, and now I'm past that. I have my subset of people that are there, and I can like. Count on them. Like, I, you know, if I sell this guy to ink these pages, he's gonna ink these pages, you know? So that's the good thing too.
That's so awesome. So yeah, I'm telling you, it sounds really cool. Like, in the sense where you don't feel like you're not starting the year stressed, and you're not starting with a mindset of like so much to do. Mm. It's just like shit's gonna get done.
I know, and I still have a fuck ton of stuff. I'm still doing some painting work. I'm working on a painting now for the square show for Tate. I'm putting together also a cover design for your book.
Yes.
You know, I'm doing t-shirt designs with Jordan at Fine Print Shop. You know, I'm planning to put together like the greeting card thing with Karina on Paper Squid. I want to call it Spanglish cards. You know, we want to do Spanglish cards. I think that market is a huge fucking hole. And let me tell you something. Hallmark sucks ass.
They do.
And a lot of these card companies are so not so bad. And I'm not saying like, oh, exceed and find your art. No, it's a fucking greeting card. But a lot of it's just so shitty and so bad and like cheesy and unmomentous. So I was like, fuck that. You know, I'll write something else. And I have a couple of side projects I'm messing with. I have an idea for, this is just something I had an idea for. I had an idea for a Simpsons episode. So I want to write that.
That's random.
I want to sit there and just write a fucking Simpsons episode. I thought, you know, if you could. Like, you know, don't always wait for people to give it to you. Write a fucking Simpsons. And actually, that was inspired by, what's his face? Judd Apatow. That he wrote a Simpsons episode 20 years ago, and they're going to finally animate it.
Oh, shit.
They had found it, and then they were like, oh, shit, he wrote one, and it was pretty good.
So they said, like, so just had it, they had it in their archives?
Yeah.
When he submitted it or whatever?
Yeah. And I was like,
awesome.
And I'm like, it's true. What stops you from writing?
And if it's a show you like, you know what these voices
and you know the ins
like.
And outs. Yeah. You know how everything.
And the inside jokes, and you can bring back a character that hasn't been used.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I never thought about that.
So, and I have like other stuff that I want to write and work on. A lot of it's the planning. So, like, I think that's the main thing with film is that as long as you have a really good script, because if you have a script that everybody believes in, cast and crew, and everybody's on board for. You're gold. You're gold. Because there is a situation. Well, that's after you. Like, again, I think the big thing is that, I feel like Creature's finally getting to this sophomoric level. Like, even though we've been around for 4 years, I feel like it's been 1 year that we've really gotten down. Like, now we're in that second year where we know where shit is, you know? And the people that we've surrounded ourselves with, on top of being talented and awesome, have that same kind of vision and hunger to do things. You know, as long as you're surrounded with people that want to do work and want to do good work, you're good. You know, even if it doesn't come out great, you're good. You're happy. Because then no matter what happens, whatever my ups and downs might happen, there's no surprises. You're good. You know, so I think that's the biggest thing. So I'm happy on that front. What sucks is that we're not going to be doing the podcast anymore.
Well,
because you're a fucking fuck.
Okay, look.
I hate Miami.
I do hate Miami. I do.
Dude, everybody hates Miami.
I hate so much.
I just sit here. I just sit there and I'm like, man, everybody hates Miami. Like, because that's all I hear from everybody.
Yeah, they're there's a reason for that, though.
Yeah.
Look, we're not. Look, we're gonna dedicate an entire episode. Why I'm leaving? Why Miami sucks? Why everybody should leave Miami and just let this fucking place burn? But we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
No. Look, we're gonna work it out. I mean, you know what it is?
We'll do the phone thing.
Yeah. You know, and I guess what pisses me off a little bit, and you know, this is something I was gonna talk about in the next one, is that it's taken this many episodes for us to build a good rhythm. And even have a decent amount of people who listen, you know? It's like, because in the beginning, I mean, there's a huge difference from episode 3 to now.
You know, I've never really gone back and listened.
I did. I got nostalgic this week in between all my drinking and eating. Yeah. And I was like, wow, I mean, we seem to know what we're talking about, but like even the sound is a little bit off, you know? And you're like, oh. And, you know, we were still relative strangers at that point, too.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, we have, just in episodes alone, we have, what, 100 hours we've talked, probably? Mm. That's ridiculous. Mm. That's ridiculous. There's people who don't talk that much in, you know.
And whole marriages that don't
talk. I'll tell you right now, I talk to you more in a week than I talk to probably each of my brothers. Because it's a 10, 15-minute conversation, maybe twice a week, you know, like, hey, how's it going? Catching up. Or it's a 5 to 10 minute conversation of just to kind of catch up on something. Yeah. You're driving somewhere, you know? Mm. So you add them up. I end up with like half an hour to 40 minutes. Mm. You know, we knock out 45 to 57 minutes a week. Yeah. So it's interesting, like, when you think about it that way. So that's what I'm saying. So, at first I was reluctant. But then I was like, you know what? No, I think we've gotten to the point where it would be fun to keep it going, just to keep track of how we're doing. Yeah. And just because... It's adding a new element to the podcast, you know?
Yeah.
If people were tired of hearing us talk, now at least I'll be bitching about Vegas.
Yeah. And this is the thing, too, and you touched upon it when you're talking about, like, finally getting to that place. That happens so much with everything. Be it your writing, your artwork, whatever the fuck you're doing. It always gets to that point that if you put it, you go at it long enough, you'll find that next level. You'll get to that point, you know, where it starts to grow. It starts to do something, you know? And it sucks because, I do feel... And my biggest problem with it is, like, you know, like I've told you before, I can't stand being on the phone. I don't like being on the phone. I don't like being... I can't stand talking to somebody. No, it doesn't mean I scream when the phone goes off, but, you know, if the conversation goes for longer than 5 or 10 minutes, I get annoyed. Because, like, dude, why aren't we just sitting down and talking? Because this is stupid. Because, you know, I'm Amish that way. I just don't like the phone. If not, just text me. You know, I just don't like being on the phone or even Skype. Because people are like, Skype's great. No, it ain't. Like, I've done a couple of podcasts that, you know, you call in and interview you. Horrible, dude. Those are fucking a pain. And not because of them themselves. The technology. So, Juan, what do you think of this? Yeah, I think it's this and this and that. This is pretty good. What? No, what? Huh? What?
Oops. By the way, we had that. I took care of it, though.
Yeah. No, let me tell you, what you've done in the podcast, I'm like, it can't be that hard. Chris can do it. So I was like, why are other people sound so bad? Like, ours sounds crisp and clean.
Because I'm obsessive. Obsessive. If it doesn't sound good, it bugs me.
Yeah, no. Well, listening to podcasts, I don't listen to a bad-sounding podcast. There's podcasts out there that piss me off because... You know, there are comic book podcasts, and it's like, I just thought the new issue of Daredevil was pretty good. Dude, what are you doing?
Is that a Japanese podcast?
Dude, no, it was just...
But it sounded like...
No, but they're just podcasts that just sound so crappy. And let me tell you, like, at least in our end, like, our format may be aimless. Like, JC was talking about it. Like, it went everywhere last week, and then it got to that one point. Everybody focused on it. But I think there's a natural breath to it, a natural pace to it, you know? It's obviously, like, in a conversation, it's wavering, and then it finds its road, and then it goes down it. But I see other podcasts where it's, so what did you think of this? And it's like, you know, you're trying to make a point and period, and it doesn't work, you know, or you're trying to, like, do something. Or, like, instead of being combative or it's complimentary. Like, it's just me and you saying, hey, man, RoboCop's great. Yep, RoboCop's great.
RoboCop is great.
Right, RoboCop is fucking amazing. That's one of those... it's a near-perfect movie. When you really think about it.
You know what I really love about that movie that people forget is that... And if you haven't watched it in a while, because I saw it a few weeks back. Because he's a robot, and it takes him a while to find his human side, he's pretty fucking ruthless. Like, he shoots that fucking chick through the legs. Well, of course, he wasn't going to miss. But what if she had twitched at that moment? Yeah. He would have shot her right in her uterus.
Yeah.
He kills the bad guy with a fucking spike that comes out of his goddamn fist. Stabs him in the face with it, right?
Yeah.
Pretty fucking ruthless. The movie itself is actually a very serious, full of, like, killing. There's a lot of...
No, there's a lot of
the way
of
he dies for crying out loud. He gets blown to bits.
Yeah, but the whole thing about it is that it has that whole Charles Bronson vigilante slant to it.
Although, hang on, though. When was the last time you watched Death Wish?
Dude, that's true.
I saw it.
It's true. And my dad had all them fucking Death
Wishes. I saw it probably 6 months ago. It's not as brutal as you remember it to be.
Really?
Yeah, like the rape scene of the wife and the daughter. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But the way he gets his revenge is very slow.
Yeah.
Very slow.
Well, Charles Bronson wasn't going to be jumping out windows or anything.
I like Charles Bronson. But he did do those things, though. Yeah. He did do a bunch of those things.
Yeah.
Remember that movie where he was a bare-knuckle fighter with James Coburn?
I think I remember that. I never saw it, though. I think I know what you're talking about.
Poor Bronson, man. He had such a fit body, but his face was just...
But that's why he's the ultimate, like, pugilist.
30 years older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that mustache of his. Oh!
God, what was it? The episode of The Simpsons where... He was in Mayberry. He's the new sheriff in Mayberry. And Don Knotts comes in like, what did you hang him for? Isn't that? And like, he didn't pay his ticket. Where are you going now? I'm going to Emmett's Fix-It Shop to fix Emmett. Like, I was like, that's hilarious because that's so like Charles Bronson.
But yeah, anyway, I don't know. So you were saying... Podcasts where people suck each other's dick or are just looking to shit on something, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And I see that. I'm not saying ours was perfect, and I can't say that we're 4 stars every time or we're 100% every time.
We are.
A couple of times that we are.
Fuck yeah, we are.
Like, there's sometimes.
No, I mean, we are 4 stars. We're not 100%. No, we're 100%, but not 4 stars.
Yeah.
No, we waver between 2 and 2.5.
You know,
we've had some
good background noise.
We've had some good ones where we're done, and I feel like, wow, that's a really good conversation.
Yeah,
but I guess to me,
yeah,
it doesn't always translate well to the listener. But I see what you mean, though. I think that at first I wanted to do like a structured one. Yeah. I remember in the beginning when we were trying to figure things out, I was like, I want to make it structured. I want to have like, you know, we do this in the first 10 minutes. We do this. And I was like, and then it was like, well, what are we going to talk about in those first 10 minutes every single time? Mm-hmm. And every time we talked, it didn't matter. Yeah. It just kind of went somewhere. Yeah. But I definitely feel like we're at a point where it flows. Mm-hmm. It really flows naturally and easy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we are definitely good background noise.
Yeah, we're definitely,
Definitely
good background noise, definitely.
But yeah, so we're not having that conversation yet, even though we just had it for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. We're still talking.
So what about you?
What's motivating us?
What about the next year for you?
Well, first I gotta get off of this whole being unemployed thing.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a tough one.
Really?
Actually, no, I don't think it is. I was talking to.
Why do I feel like the music from the end of Incredible Hulk is gonna be on? Dun, you're gonna dun, be on the end of that? You're gonna be on the side of the road with your thumb out,
giving handies.
Giving handies for the ride. It's the rule of the road.
No, honestly, the first thing is getting settled in, man. I need to see what's available, you know? Like, because I know for a fact I'm just not going to go into a job that was paying me what I was making and in the position I was in. But it could happen, so I need to be ready for that. I'm definitely going to stay in the same field. I've got too much information stored up in my head, so... but yeah, first thing is just going to be getting myself located, finding a job and doing all that.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see from the packing, and my general rule, and the nomadic spirit says if it doesn't fit in my car, it ain't going with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a free-for-all over here. I just got back from Goodwill, gave him a beautiful, hardly used crockpot.
Not crackpot.
It's practically crack, because it doesn't do... It's useless, unless it's specifically for you. You know... things that I'm not gonna use, you know. You know what the funny thing is? my friend's mom for Noche Buena, she was kind of helping clean the dishes afterwards, and she goes, "Oh, you have Cornell plates." I said, "Oh, yes, I do, right? You know, I don't know. I bought them because they were nice." And she says, "Yeah." She goes, "Did you know that these are unbreakable or like they don't chip?" She goes, "You can drop them on the ground and they're not going to break." Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Well, I'm not going to try it." I said, "But I'll take your word for it." She goes, "No, these are really nice plates. I was actually looking for some of these for my son's apartment because her son just got a place." And I was like, "Okay, hey, look, this is going to sound crazy. If there's anything you want to take with you, go ahead and take them." And, like, she's all like, "Well, no, because of the packing." And it took a half an hour later. And she goes, "Okay, well, maybe I'll take a set." She goes, "Maybe I'll take the two little ones, the two bowls, the two big ones, the two bigger ones, and the two deep bowls. Mm-hmm. Just that, though." And I'm like, "Go ahead." I goes, "Look, if you don't take it, it's going to end up at Goodwill." It was a weird thing to say. Mm-hmm. And it almost took her a while to be like, "Is it weird if I'm taking someone's plates from the house?" Yeah, right. But I'm like, "Go ahead. Anything else you want, just let me know." Like, there's plenty of silverware to go around.
Yeah.
But yeah, so in that sense, like, I'm very easy when it comes to that. I'm packing my car. I'm having it shipped to California. I'm going to go spend some time with my family. And then I'm driving to Vegas with it, you know? And if it doesn't fit in my car, it ain't coming with me. So it's actually helped me. Like, I cut my wardrobe in half. The other half is at Goodwill. You know, like movies and books. I'm like, which ones do I really want to take? You know, I've cut a lot of things back, and it's just, it makes sense. You know, to me, it makes sense. Like, I came to Florida with my car, and same thing, all the clothes I could fit in it, a couple guitars, and the rest I've built here in 4 years. Yeah. I mean, this table right here. If you would like it, you can take it with you tonight. That's just how I roll. I'm not. I like this table, but it ain't coming with me. You know.
Yeah.
That's just how it is, you know. So, like me going, it's gonna be easy. It's just gonna be finding myself in there, you know. Yeah. Like, see if I can find another Juan and another and another creature and another another deuce and all those things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is just gonna be that. But the first thing is like I gotta start making money again. And luckily, I'm not too proud. I'll fucking work. You know what? With the exception of Handys. I don't think I'm at the point of Handys yet.
Handys yet? Yeah.
But it's there in the list.
You know? Shit is the fan.
After Starbucks fucking denies me employment, it's fucking hands up in the back of parking lot.
You're going to work at a Starbucks, bro?
No.
I would love to see you as a
barista. Although I would love to be a barista.
I'd love to have a double half-calf decaf.
I don't even know what that is. You know what you're going to have? A black coffee? Here you go.
It's a black coffee.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out
of here. Oh, my God. I would wear a shirt that said barista, though. Just to fucking be like, this is what I do. See this?
It's a barista.
At Starbucks.
Balls.
You want cold coffee, black coffee, whatever. Here you go. Here's a coffee for you.
Coffee.
Fuck out of here. No. I, you know what? Like I say, I'm not too proud. I could not work for Starbucks.
Really?
Just because I've been boycotting them since I was 16.
Oh yeah.
I can't. It would be against everything I believe in.
I feel the same way about the Gap. Never bought anything from the Gap. Never been inside a Gap store.
Oh, I went through my Gap phase.
Yeah?
My late teens.
I hated that
shit. Early 20s, I think.
I hate almost any of those kind of fucking... I just hate it.
How do you feel about Banana Republic?
Nothing. I really give a fuck.
Okay, because they make one pair of jeans that are fucking phenomenal. It's the only jeans that I'm willing to pay more than $80 for.
I think a good 2/4 of my wardrobe comes from Target. And only because I really don't care.
90% of my t-shirts come from Target. I love their Target t-shirts, man. $9 for like a cool design?
Yeah, but see, the one thing I hate about Target t-shirts, everybody has them.
Mm-mm.
So then I'll get the shirt, and then I'll turn around, and somebody else has that shirt. I hate that.
I have.
So I'll go to T-Fury, and that's where I buy all my shirts.
Yeah. I used to when I... The thing is, I have to touch it. I have to feel it. Ordering a shirt online is... So really? Scary. It's so fucking scary.
Well, t-shirts
dude.
To me are not that hard. It's an XL is an XL.
No, it isn't, man.
Really?
It isn't. I've bought XL, and it fits huge, and it won't shrink. I've bought XL, it fits perfectly, and then it shrinks. I can't. It's so difficult for me. I have to touch it. I have to feel it. And unless it says like athletic fit or slim fit or some sort of fit, you already know what it means, you know. Mm-hmm. But if it's just extra large, oh man, it's a roll of the dice, man.
Yeah,
yeah, really? I can't. I don't know.
I think I turned off a lot of it. That kind of stuff. Because again, like if you go and look for brands you do like or any hoity-toity brand, like Calvin Klein hates fat people. Like
they do.
Plain and simple. Like they go there and they're large. It's just
it's not large. It's not large at all. Not.
Why are you lying? Why do you want to hurt my fat feelings? You know, so they're just horrendous.
Yeah, I agree. No, but I guess certain brands, like I love Dockers, dude. I really think Dockers are great.
There's like
pants.
A lot of brands that I really give a crap about. Like I love Dickies.
Yes.
But the only thing is, after you've watched them a million billion times, do they start finally getting comfortable?
Yeah.
Like they finally get really comfortable. Does take a while. Like once they're molded on you. They're the best. I remember having, like, I had, like, two pairs of shorts that were Dickies and, like, a shirt. Fucking wore those to the ground.
But this is the thing, though. It takes 10 years for them to finally feel right, but they will last another 10 after that.
Yes.
I've got Dickies from the late 90s still that I wear. Those fucking things, they will never. And I'm talking about, like, in the late 90s, I bought a pair of Dickies for $18. How much have they gotten up in price? Like, $5 in 10 years?
Maybe.
They're the best. I agree. Yeah. I completely agree, Dickies.
But when you put them on, that's fucking cardboard.
Yeah.
Sandpaper. it is. You're just like,
Starts. I'm telling you, they're such. Yeah, but that's one. You're right. That's one of those brands where I can trust that they're gonna give me. And because of how they work with uniforms, their sizes are really exact. Like medium, regular, medium tall, medium long, regular, short. That's one other great thing about them. And also, I'm big on. Like a t-shirt or a shirt has to feel like it's not going to rip.
Yeah.
And those fuckers have, oh my God. No, it's like Levi's. You can't.
It feels like an explosion could go off and your body will be decimated and unrecognizable. Fucking pants will still be there.
But I feel the same way about Levi's. Levi's makes really good fucking pants.
Yeah.
And they're in between the expensive and the cheap.
I have jeans, really. I have jeans. I wear them. I can't. I wear shorts all the fucking time.
You know what I was going to say? You know what? This is why you live in Florida, though. Yeah. I mean, did you wear jeans all the time in Chicago? I mean, shorts all the time in Chicago? You couldn't.
Only in the summer. So exactly. Only in the summer and spring. Yeah, when it's fucking 25 degrees outside and that biting wind hits you, you gotta use. But I remember being like, jeans fatigue me. Like, I actually put them on and I'm like, man, why do my legs weigh so much? I get tired and shit. I remember being tired over there all the time because I had to wear boots and jeans. I'm like, this sucks. Why is this happening? I want shorts.
That was fun. That's very funny. All right, we're out of time. Stay tuned for the season finale.
The series finale.
Question mark of Chris and Juan.
Does Chris have Juan's baby?
Find Juan's drawings and musings at fawakata.com. That's FWACATA. Keep up with Chris drinking and rambling at typewriteronmute.blogspot.com. Also like them on Facebook at Zombie Years and Christian Gillen. That's GUILLEN.